JC Corcoran Podcast.
And now a holiday message from the Kardashians.
Hey everybody! I'm Kim, and in the spirit of a holiday, I'm dressed as sexy Santa.
I'm Courtney, and I'm also dressed as sexy Santa.
And I'm Chloe, and I'm dressed as Santa. After such a busy year, we wanted to take some time off from doing whatever it is we do to wish everyone happy holidays.
So to all our friends, Merry Christmas.
To all our agents and managers, Happy Hanukkah.
And to all our boyfriends, have a great Kwanzaa.
This year, literally count your blessings. I'm thankful for our new line of perfumes.
I'm thankful for our workout DVDs.
And I'm thankful that 4 years ago, my sister made a sex tape with Brandy's brother, and now our whole family is famous.
So cool.
I had fun.
In conclusion, literally, Merry Christmas from me.
And me.
And us.
Me
and my bud.
Ho, ho,
this has been a holiday message from the Kardashian.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, December 17th, 2021, 326 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? JC here at jcontheline.com. Well, we're in a lot of trouble. Been watching the news here. This coronavirus thing is doubling pretty much every 2 or 3 days. 60 million people in this country have not been inoculated, as Aaron Rodgers would say. Nobody's wearing a mask anymore. Nobody's socially distancing. And now everybody's going to be traveling and flying and spreading the goddamn thing all over the place and to one another. And we're going to have, by all predictions, and I really soaked this stuff in yesterday because I didn't want to believe it. You know, you're sitting there and you're watching and you're going, we're not going to do this again. And then you're like, yeah, we are. And I feel like I know Dr. Fauci by now, you know, because he's on all the time. And, you know, I didn't like the expression on his face yesterday. He just looked like, oh, shit. I don't want to be the guy to have to say all this all the time. I'm telling the truth. I'm a scientist. My job to let people know what's going on. But people are so tired of hearing it that they end up hating me. Killed a messenger. By the way, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing coming up 44? And like around Festus, a little north of Park Hills, all of this stuff going. It's ice. We got ice out there. It's getting ready to cross over 55 right about at 255. And then there's another patch just northeast of Sullivan coming up 44, and that's heading towards Wildwood. So for those of you who are listening to this early on and not hearing this like on Sunday afternoon while you're binge listening, just be careful out there. But anyhow, back to what I was saying, we're in for a rough ride, folks. We're in for a rough ride. Did you see these assholes in Kentucky yesterday? Biden comes in to inspect the damage and just, you know, hug people and do what a president's supposed to do in these kinds of situations, just show up. And even if it's pretend, you're trying to make these people feel better. And again, this is what a president is supposed to do in situations like this. And these assholes start doing the chant, let's go Brandon, let's go Brandon. There's just no limit. There's no limit to the degree that people will go these days because of their political leanings to just reach new levels of cretinism. Is it just going to be a matter of time before every male star in America is accused of some sort of sexual assault? Chris Noth yesterday I will say this about the two women who came forth yesterday. The one woman had a very, very detailed account of what happened, and she needed stitches, and she was in the hospital, and so there's a whole paper trail on that one. And then another woman, I think that's the one that goes back to like 2004 or something like that. I think there's less in terms of evidence, if you will. He does not deny that the encounters took place. He says that they were consensual. He's 67 years old, by the way. Jeff Garlin from the Goldbergs, he's out of a job following an HR investigation about his behavior on the set. We're edging up to this weekend now where we start having football games, NFL games on Saturday and Sunday. So that's right, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday again. Sunday night football, you got Tampa hosting the New Orleans Saints, which is interesting because in Buffalo, fans are donating money to a vision impairment charity in honor of the quote-unquote blind referees who they think caused them to lose to the Tampa Bay Bucks last Sunday. So far, they've raised more than $40,000. Overtime win for the Chiefs last night. Oh, and by the way, in Canada, they just cut back capacity on attendance of games. Again, you know, as I said the other day, we are this close to having cardboard fans in the stands again. Kroger, one of the biggest grocery chains in America, has eliminated paid COVID leave for unvaccinated workers. And they're going to charge salaried employees who are enrolled in a company healthcare plan $50 a month if they remain unvaccinated, bringing out the heavy artillery. I grew up a Chicago Bears fan, and they are professional heartbreakers. They get you believing year after year, and then the bottom just falls out of the whole damn thing. But I will tell you this, you know, I try to like the players, but I did not have any love for Jay Cutler, the quarterback for the Bears a couple of years ago. Just a dick, and that's all there was to it. So then he marries Kristen Cavallari, one of the greater godly creations roaming the planet, and then they break up, and as is often the case, the details of the accusations in the divorce proceedings come out. In this case, she's accusing him of cheating on her millions of times and something called inappropriate marital conduct. And I'm not sure people know exactly what that means. And my imagination is running wild right now. And speaking of marital conduct, I posted this thing yesterday. This is a story I had not heard before. Somebody responded to a tweet with a link to Kitty Kelly's Nancy Reagan biography. Now, Kitty Kelly had this cottage industry going for decades where she would write these books, these tell-all books about famous celebrities, and they were rarely complimentary, let's put it that way. And she did one about Nancy Reagan, and in that biography, it is alleged that Nancy was well-known in Hollywood for giving the best head. Here's the quote. According to Kitty Kelly's biography, Nancy Reagan was renowned in Hollywood for performing oral sex. Just say yes, Nancy, in the days when she was Nancy Davis, was known to give the best blowjob in town, not only in the evening, but in offices. That was one of the reasons she was very popular on the MGM lot. It must have made her very popular with Ronnie as well. End quote. Slogan should have been, just say, oh, oh, oh. This is a story that combines COVID with sports for your listening enjoyment. Quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, ripping the NFL for what he calls careless and senseless handling of the COVID-19 testing. More than 20 Browns players, including Baker Mayfield and his backup quarterback, are stuck in COVID protocol and are likely out of tomorrow's game against the Raiders. Both the Washington football team and the Rams are also dealing with a lot of outbreaks. We were talking about this over dinner last night. You know, part of our time is spent out in Florida, And, you know, for a baseball lover like me, we got these spring training facilities all over the place, including the Cardinals, only a couple of hours away. And, you know, you come down here and it's like, well, this is great. I can just hop in the car to get day trip and go see a baseball game, even if it's not the Cardinals. You know, you go see baseball when it's, you know, 80 degrees outside. Everybody else in the Midwest is freezing and you're sitting there enjoying the sunshine. And of course, because of COVID last year, nothing. So I'm like, well, this is going to be great. You know, I remember thinking this a couple of months ago. This will be fantastic because there's nothing to interfere with spring training now. And instead, COVID is not over. It's spiking. And, oh, there's this little issue of there being a lockout. Everything fun is being wrecked. Betty White celebrating her 100th birthday with a special in theaters called Betty White, 100 Years Young, a Birthday Celebration. One day, January 17th, it'll include celebrity guests and highlights, excuse me, from her life and career. Tickets are already on sale. We got a bunch of movies opening up. Spider-Man No Way Home and Guillermo del Toro's Nightmare Alley are out this weekend. I'm seeing the Kurt Warner, Brenda Warner movie tonight, and that's how I describe it based on what people have told me, because it is very much their movie. If you think this is a football movie, it's sounding like it really isn't. Football is just the backdrop for the story that's being told from what I am told, but I will have a full report on your desk over the weekend. The embargo is lifted. You know, the studios say, we're going to show you the movie, but you can't say anything about it until such and such a date. And that date is tomorrow. So I'll see the movie tonight, and then I'll let you guys know over the weekend what I think of it. Speaking of movies, if you didn't see this on Facebook yesterday, I told you about this movie. I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know anything about it. Came out in 2018, but, you know, you have all these great Christmas movies like Home Alone, It's a Wonderful Life, 29th Street, which I'm telling you, if you can get your hands on that, I know it's an obscure movie with Danny Aiello and Anthony LaPaglia, Robert Forster, a bunch of Lainey Kazan. It's wonderful. It's called 29th Street, also a Christmas story. And I'm going to throw this movie in with that group, with that very, very prominent exclusive group. It was directed by Christopher Columbus, the guy who made Home Alone, along with John Hughes. It's a Netflix movie from 2018. It's on Netflix and it's called The Christmas Chronicles. Kurt Russell, not your stereotypical Santa, the two kids who end up with him on this wild Christmas Eve night. They're great. There is a great jailhouse scene where an impromptu band is led by one very extremely famous guy you'll recognize immediately. And the special effects, particularly these aerial shots of Chicago at night, are breathtaking. And there's one actor I want to single out. His name is Martin Roach. He plays the Chicago cop, and man, is he good. He just plays this fantastic. Martin Roach, one of the two black cops, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. My 12-year-old daughter and I have watched it three times this past week. Last night, Papa got to town, and so she sat him down, and we all watched it again. So I've seen the movie four times now in about the last 10 days. I'm giving this thing 4 out of 5 very enthusiastic quirks. It's called The Christmas Chronicles. Again, Kurt Russell, really, really good in this. Everybody fantastic in it. It's on Netflix, The Christmas Chronicles. I highly recommend it. Speaking of movies and all things movie-related, the investigators want Alec Baldwin's cell phone. They want to dig through it and see if he says anything or texts anybody or anything like that that is contrary to the version that we have gotten from him up until this point. This outfit called Polestar released their year-end data, as they do every year, for the top-grossing North American music tours, and the Rolling Stones, the highest-grossing tour at $115 million. This is sort of a weird story. Eric Clapton successfully sued a woman in Germany for attempting to sell a bootleg CD on eBay for $11. The woman said she had no idea it was an illegal recording. The judge said she's got to pay $3,500 in attorney fees. Paul Rudd hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. A Frank Sinatra drama series is in the works at Netflix. Pink Floyd surprised everybody with a release this week of a dozen live albums. It's available on streaming services. Birthdays today, Manny Pacquiao, the Filipino boxer, is 43. Sarah Paulson, from American Horror Story. She's in everything these days. She played Linda Tripp in Impeachment, 47. Peter Farrelly, the director of Green Book. He's also one of the Farrelly brothers responsible for stuff like Kingpin and Shallow Hal. 65 today. Bill Pullman, great guy. Had the opportunity to interview him a couple of times in L.A. Just a fun guy. And I'll tell you a funny story about this. I sat down. They wired me up for the interview. Bill sitting there very patiently. And then, like I was telling you earlier this week, the director is standing there counting down. All right, St. Louis, J.C. Corcoran coming up in 5, 4, 3, 2. And then they point at you and you begin. And in this particular case, I said, you know, again, this is Bill Pullman, you know, the guy from Independence Day and While You Were Sleeping and Spaceballs and played the president in Independence Day. Great guy. And they count me down, 5, 4, 3, 2. And I go, we're here with Bull Pittman. And I stopped and caught myself and started laughing. And he just about jumped out of his chair and he said, you know what? You know what? You won't believe how many people do that. I said, they call you Bull Pittman? He goes, yes. He says, it's incredible. It happens all the time. There's just something about the name that makes people do that. And in fact, he said, that is that. And again, keep in mind, this was probably 15 years ago. But he says, Bull Pittman plus a number that I can't give you is actually my email address. So Bull Pittman is 68 today. Eugene Levy from the American Pie movies and Splash and Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman and all that sort of stuff, 75 today. Ernie Hudson, the Black Ghostbuster, 76. And the Pope is 85.
I grew up in a little storybook town in Connecticut, which was, it was great, you know, especially during the holidays. Christmas Eve, you're walking through the town square, everything's decorated, snow's crunching under your feet, Christmas decorations everywhere, Christmas music. Can you picture that? Ah, it's a nice feeling. I miss it. Cute little gift shop over here, it's all decorated. The owner's home with his family, right? So you break in, you take whatever you want. Doesn't matter, it's the holidays, you know? You see your house way down the street, you could just about make it out. That's your house, okay. It's all decorated, little red and blue lights all around it. You get a little closer, you realize those are police cars taking your father away for shoplifting. But it doesn't matter, it's the holidays, you know? Just a nice feeling. Over the river and through the woods. That's the way my grandmother used to drive. And you get home, you get up on the porch and you smell those fresh gingerbread men. And they stink because your mother can't bake for nothing, you know? It's cozy inside, though. Little fire going. No fireplace, just a little fire. Yeah. Your sister was smoking in bed, so you put her out. There's hot chocolate on the stove. Not in a pot, just dried up on the stove. So you scrape it off, you put it in a pot, and you heat it up, a couple marshmallows. Pour it into your favorite mug, you sit back and you drink it. And you burn the hell out of the roof of your mouth. And for the next few days, you're playing with that little piece of skin with your tongue, huh? Oh, I miss that. There's a fruitcake on the table. His name's Steven. And he's excited. Everybody's excited because it's the holidays, you know? And you want to go to bed because you want to wake up and open up those presents. So you climb into your pajamas, you crawl into bed, and you're all snug, and you can't sleep, right? Because it's only about 3 in the afternoon. So you get up, you sneak some of your father's whiskey. You drink it, and now you get visions of sugar plums dancing in your head. You go back to bed, and the room starts spinning around like crazy, and you start throwing up on the sheets and everything. Oh, I miss that. But you know something? We forget the most important thing about Christmas, because, you know, we get hung up in shopping and visiting relatives and, you know, eating and everything. We forget the most important thing, and that's to save your receipts. Have a Merry Christmas.
Kevin Nealon, thank you very much. I rarely eat breakfast. And, you know, sometimes we will go out and then I will eat breakfast. So like a first watch or something like that. And when I do, I get bagels and cream cheese. Get a toasted bagel, everything bagel. Get a little cream cheese on it. Put some lox on there, some capers. Don't forget the capers. Slice a tomato and you just go to town. And I'll do that maybe once every 2 months or something like that. Kraft, if you're not aware, has been telling us for a couple of weeks now there's a cream cheese shortage. And they're turning that into a marketing opportunity. You know, most of the time a company would go, oh my God, we're known for cream cheese, Philadelphia cream cheese, Kraft, you know. We don't have any. What the fuck do we do now? And these guys, somebody had a good idea. For a few days this holiday season, a limited number of people will be able to spend $20 on dessert and charge it to Kraft, owner of Philadelphia cream cheese. The premise, people who can't bake cheesecakes because they can't find cream cheese can get another baked good, and Kraft will pay for it. We spend a lot of time on this podcast telling you how stupid people are. It's nice to have a story where somebody did something that's really smart. Travel, travel, travel. Okay, we have the stats on that too. And if you are going someplace for Christmas, you probably won't leave until the 23rd at the earliest. I don't think that's correct, but that's what it says here. Anyhow, there's a new survey out. 53% of Americans say they plan to travel ahead of Christmas this year, and two-thirds will hit the road within 2 days of Christmas itself. December 23rd, 24th, and 25th, all tied for the most popular day to travel this year. That's right. I said the 25th is one of those days. And as you might recall, earlier this week, I told you I did fly on Christmas Day once, and I had the plane, and I had the airport, and I had the flight attendants all to myself. It's a great day to travel. 66% of people who are going somewhere will travel on one of these days, the 23rd, 24th, or 25th, including 22% who are traveling on Christmas. Those people, for the most part, are driving. Another 9% are traveling on the 22nd. 20% are traveling on the 21st or earlier. This, unfortunately, also ruins television. Like on the local news, you'll see these third-rate 20-year-old people fresh out of college thrown into the anchor position. And you're like, who is this? These squeaky voices and everything. They look like they're about 20 because they are. And also all the late-night television talk shows, you know, going to hibernation for a couple of weeks here. This is also traditionally when the cable and satellite companies go nuts, just peppering you with nonstop commercials. Also, the "In the Eyes of an Angel, Will You Please Pay Some Money So This Dog Doesn't Die?" And I'm an animal lover, but boy, oh boy, after a while, you're like, all right, that's enough. Anyhow, again, this was one of these things I didn't know anything about. If you're traveling by plane and you're thinking to yourself, I hear about these upgrades that are always available. If you're looking for a first-class upgrade, I wonder how that works. How do you do that? Well, sometimes it's knowing the right people or just being in the right place at the right time. But it turns out now it's really all about having the right outfit. And this is according to the flight attendants. There's one way, the story says, you can score a free upgrade to first class without having to do very much. Flight attendants told the people doing this story, just pick the perfect ensemble. The good news is you don't need to be a fashion icon to do it. A lot of travelers wear sweatpants and sneakers when they fly. And the flight attendants say, you're not getting an upgrade if you're dressed like a slob. Now, I happen to think I look okay when I'm wearing, well, I don't wear sweatpants, but I'll wear like, you know, a pair of, you know, Adidas black athletic pants with the stripes going down the side and stuff like that. I think that looks nice. The flight attendants apparently disagree. Here's what they say. When we fly, we have a strict dress code to follow. No jeans or trainers. So I always go for tight black trousers and a blazer or a dress. For men, chinos or trousers and a shirt. A nice shirt. Another flight attendant elaborated that when you don't have to be on trend or wearing designer clothes to get the upgrade, smart but understated. You should look like you travel a lot. It helps. Somebody who is potentially due to get an upgrade can be knocked back if they're not dressed suitably. So no dirty sneakers, flip-flops, leggings, old shirts, jeans, or other comfy stuff. They want you to dress up. That's how you get an upgrade. And part of me says, well, that's good to know. Now I know how to do it. The other part of me says, fuck you. You want me to dress up for you? I don't even know you. You're a fucking flight attendant. You're probably a slut. Boinking the captain. In Japan, it's a tradition to eat KFC for Christmas. Orders must be placed 2 months in advance. Otherwise, they say we can't handle it because there's so much demand. In 1980, the hottest toy of the Christmas season was the Rubik's Cube. At the time, it cost $1.99. Now it's $10. Give it to a nephew you don't like. The X, by the way, in Christmas, I've had people berate me for using an X instead of actually typing out the whole word Christ, or Christ, obviously, as the case may be. Well, it turns out it's not an abbreviation. It dates back to the 16th century, and it's based on the Greek letter chi, C-H-I, which looks like an X. It's the first letter in the word that translates to Christ in English. Speaking of Greece, the ancient Greeks considered the mistletoe an aphrodisiac, hence kissing under a mistletoe. There's always some dope at the Christmas party who has mistletoe hanging from his belt buckle.
I get it.
There's a province in southwest Peru that doesn't celebrate Christmas on December 25th. They celebrate a holiday called Tecanacai. Tecanacai, where you're legally allowed to have a fist fight with anybody you've had a problem with that year. Welcome to Peru. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was created in 1939 by the Montgomery Ward Department Store as a way to save money. They'd buy coloring books to pass out at Christmas, and they figured it would be cheaper to print their own books with an original character, and people started buying them. And the rest, again, is history. Here's a weird trend for pet owners. People are posting videos where they pick up their Christmas tree and chase their cat around the house with it. The idea is to make your cat afraid of the tree so it won't jump up and rip the ornaments down or knock the tree over. It actually sort of makes sense. Oh, and if you got guests coming in maybe in the next couple of days, somebody polled the people who are traveling and are going to be staying at somebody else's house for a couple of days. And they said, what are the things that really bother you, especially, you know, with regard to a clean house? For example, a dirty toilet. So if you only clean one thing, make it the commode. Number two, if your kitchen is a total disaster, a trash can or recycling bin that's overflowing, bathrooms that are dirty in general, a gross shower or bathtub, general clutter, sticky floors, other surfaces that are gross like tables and countertops, dirty dishes in the sink, and a general pet smell in your house. And I made you a promise a couple of weeks ago that every Friday here on the podcast, we'd go back into the archives, 1995. Here it comes.
This is just the facts about Santa and his sleigh.
Now, this isn't the how much the 12 days of Christmas would cost.
No, no, none of that anybody, stuff. You know, I hate that.
You have my permission to put your foot through any television that sports a reporter that calculates how much the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 gifts thing, yeah, would cost in 1995.
Don't say that too loud. I'm going to walk in today. Jamie, you know we have an idea.
A News Channel 4 investigation. Go ahead, what do you got?
Does Santa come with flying reindeer to deliver presents at Christmas? Well, here are just the facts. No known species of reindeer can fly, but there are 300,000 species of living organisms yet to be classified. Although most of these are insects and germs, this does not rule out flying reindeer. Thanks to the different time zones, Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, assuming he travels east to west. This works out to 822 visits per second. That means for each celebrating household with at least one good child in it, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, place presents under the tree, eat the snacks, and return to the sleigh.
That's 1/1000th of a second.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, assuming all 91.8 million stops are evenly distributed throughout the Earth, the total trip will be 75.5 million miles. That means Santa's sleigh must move at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. Assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set weighing about 2 pounds, the sleigh is carrying a payload of 321,000 tons, not counting Jolly St. Nick. A standard reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds. Even if flying reindeer might pull 10 times more than normal reindeer, Santa would need 214,000 reindeer to pull the sleigh. The reindeer, payload, Santa, and sleigh would weigh more than 353,000 tons. This is four times the weight of Queen Elizabeth, the cruise ship. This this 353,000 tons traveling at 650 miles an hour creates tremendous air resistance, heating the reindeer in the same manner as a spacecraft re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. The lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each. Now, wait a minute. The lead reindeer, as a result, will burst into flames, exposing the reindeer behind them and creating massive sonic booms in their wakes. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.2 thousandths of a second. Santa will be subjected to centrifugal forces 17,000 times greater than gravity. Assuming that Santa weighs 250 pounds, he would be pinned to the back of his sleigh by 4 million pounds of centrifugal force. Merry Christmas.
And with that, we say have a great weekend, everybody. That's the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at J.C. on the Line for Friday, December 17th, 2021, 326 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We publish every Monday through Friday at about 7 a.m. It's absolutely free. We archive everything, binge on the weekend if you like. You know, we only do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. And with that, I remind you, I'll see the Kurt Warner movie tonight, American Underdog, and I'll have a full report on your desk. We'll do it Monday on the podcast, but I'll probably post something on Facebook over the weekend if you are interested in all of that. Please continue to do what you've been doing and spread the word of mouth on the podcast. Let people know that we are here every weekday morning. That's the best gift you can give me at Christmas. I'm picking out something just absolutely lovely for every single one of you. Have a great weekend, everybody. In the meantime, we've eaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.